In the sacrament of confirmation, we are given the same Holy Spirit as was given to the apostles at Pentecost. The same spirit of faith, the same spirit of boldness, the same spirit that turned ordinary men like you and I into super saints. Not only did St. Peter go out and boldly proclaim the truth of his faith, converting and baptizing over 3,000 people, but shortly after, he and John approached the temple gate and saw a crippled man begging. With great confidence, Peter exclaimed, "Gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up." And immediately, that man was healed. If you look at the church today, you cannot help but ask, where is the power today? Not just the miracles, but where is this boldness? Where is the passion? Instead, when I look at the church today, I am reminded of a more disappointing scene from the Bible. I am reminded of the time when Jesus goes back to his hometown. And because of people's lack of faith, a lack of faith due primarily because of the people's over-familiarity with Jesus that caused our Lord to leave his hometown disappointed. The Bible tells us, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles there. He couldn't do mighty works. For most of us, this is the common experience we have with the church. We come to Mass and we don't experience any mighty works. We don't have an encounter with the living God. But why? For the same reason that people of Jesus' hometown did not experience the love and power of God. The people in Jesus' hometown did not treat Jesus like he was really God. When you look at the times that Jesus worked powerfully in people's lives, it was when they treated him like he was who he said that he was. Only when we are persistent and actually treat Jesus as God do we see and experience God's presence in our lives. When we treat Jesus as God, that is when we see his loving plan for our lives more clearly. When we surrender our lives to his will is when life is most interesting. And as Catholics, we have the power. We have Jesus Christ really with us. He is truly, really, and substantially present in the Eucharist. He is the Eucharist. That little bread you eat at Mass, that's not bread. It is God. And all we have to do is act like it. I know what you're thinking. Well, how do I act like it? I already go to Mass. I already do what everybody else does. Exactly. That is exactly the problem. You are doing what everybody else does. What you are doing is not working. Treating Jesus in the Eucharist like everybody else is not working. And that is what this presentation is about. It is about identifying the problem, and we've already done that. Not treating Jesus in the Eucharist like the living God that he is. So identifying the problem, coming up with a solution, and most important, living Jesus' command to be his witnesses unto the ends of the earth. That's what this presentation is about. This presentation is about starting a revolution that is a return to reverence. We have the power source. We have God. We just need grace to flow. And the grace is going to flow through you. The change is going to come through you. Reverence and a loss of respect for Jesus' real presence is the source for the loss of the grace in the lives of so many of our family and friends. The church teaches us that Jesus in the Eucharist is the source and the summit of our lives. But we have a problem in the church today. So many people not only don't show reverence, but people are against it. People are afraid to be reverent. But there is great hope. There is a great hope for the church. You are that hope. You are the group of young Davids that can stand up against Goliath. You can save the church if you're willing to be bold. You can save the church if you're willing to be docile. You can save the church if you're willing to be temples of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. First and foremost, God deserves our respect. But secondly, we are a body and a soul. Our postures and our gestures impact our souls, our dispositions. In the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist, we have an ocean of grace, and it is available to anybody. But I only receive grace if I am open. How I act with my body has a direct impact on the disposition of my soul. So we're going to focus on how we can be better disposed to receive graces, how we can use our bodies to receive grace. This is not only showing more respect for God, it is also opening my soul for an ocean of grace, but it also serves as a reminder to others that God is present here. So let us start with the most basic and work our way to the most profound. Number one, stop talking in church. Very simple. Keep your talking to a minimum. If you want to talk, talk to God. If somebody wants to chit-chat with you, simply take the conversation outside, be polite. Number two, where you put your hands. This is not required, but if you want to be the most reverent in church, you should have prayer hands. I know what you're thinking. Does it really make a difference? Yes, it makes a difference. Everything you do during the Mass makes a difference. Trust me, try it the reverent way. This is with your hands together, with your fingers pointed towards heaven, with your right thumb over your left. Try it. Don't be afraid. This position is very helpful. First, it'll keep you from fidgeting. It will help you to remain focused because you're pointing your fingers where your soul should be directing your mind and your heart. You're literally pointing with your heart and your fingers upwards towards God. If your neighbor is distracted and they see you pointing with all of your fingers at the main liturgical action, they'll be reminded of where they are supposed to be focusing. This is way more reverent than if you have your hands folded in front of your privates, or resting your hands on your belly, or clasping your fingers together with your fingers pointing towards yourself. We point our fingers towards the Lord. Again, if your neighbor is distracted, they will see your fingers pointing towards the main liturgical action and upwards towards heaven. This is the posture that we see many of the saints using. Try it. You will not be disappointed. Number three, genuflecting. First, how to genuflect. Put your right knee where your right foot was. Your knee should make solid contact with the ground. If your knees work, use them. If your knees don't work, make a deep bow. I know some of you have bad knees. If this is the case, don't let it bother you. For everybody else, you should practice making a solid genuflection. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Your actions speak louder than words. And a good, confident genuflection is a bold proclamation that Jesus Christ is here and He is your God. The sacrament of confirmation is all about proclaiming Christ boldly. Rely upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you received at confirmation to make a bold proclamation that this matters. And we do this anytime we cross in front of the tabernacle. And because we want to be extra reverent, and because God deserves the best, and we need the reminders, let us make genuflections, yes, when we cross in front of the tabernacle, but also when we enter and exit our pew, and even when we enter and exit the church. What? Are you crazy? Man, why so many genuflections? Is God present? Yes, let's act like it. Let's do everything possible to proclaim to ourselves and to the world that Jesus is here and He is the Lord. So, if we bend one knee for Jesus when He is reposed in the tabernacle, it has been a long and fitting tradition of the church to do a profound genuflection on two knees when Jesus is exposed in the monstrance or on the altar. To do a profound genuflection, the greatest act of reverence, we bend down on both knees and we bow at the waist. Again, we do this when Jesus is exposed. Some people just genuflect on one knee, but this is about being the most reverent. Stop worrying about what other people do. God deserves the best. When it comes to the real presence, our eyes deceive us. And this posture helps to remind ourselves that God is really present in all of His glory, and it is a sign for others who may be distracted. So again, when Jesus is exposed in a monstrance, make a profound genuflection on both knees whenever you cross in front, enter or exit your pew, and upon entering and leaving the church. We are starting a reverence revolution, and it starts with you. Kneeling is a profound sign of adoration, and the devil hates it. Pope Benedict XVI, in his book, The Spirit of the Liturgy, talks about how the devil has no knees. Kneeling is an act of humility, and the devil detests such acts, which may also explain why some people get very angry when reverence is encouraged. When reverence is encouraged, some people get so angry, they are so venomous. But don't let it bother you. Be humble. Know that your victimhood and humility will conquer all. If you look around the world where there is only a little reverence for the Eucharist, the faith is weak and the vocations are few. But if you look where there is much reverence, the faith is very strong and vocations are numerous. This is your calling from God to be reverent. We can change the future of the church. We can experience the mighty works that Jesus wishes to perform. Reverence is simply treating God as if He was really God. When we begin to treat Jesus in the Eucharist as if He's really present and He's really God, then, and only then, we will experience an authentic renewal in the church. As some of you may know, when I receive Holy Communion, I receive Jesus kneeling down, and I receive Him directly on my tongue. But I didn't start out that way. I was born Catholic, but I was not really raised in the faith. When I was taught how to go to Holy Communion, I was taught to put your hands out, so that is what I did. And I stood, because everybody else stood. I never really had any spiritual experience, and after a time, I felt like something was missing. I even attended some charismatic groups, but even then, I felt like something was not right. So I went on a retreat, and during that retreat, I was changed forever. I met a very holy and saintly Filipino priest. His name was Father Edgardo Arellano, known familiarly to some as Father Bing. And within minutes, immediately it hit me. He spoke with power. His words pierced my soul. He was full of zeal and passion for our Lord in the Eucharist.
You want to see young people who really reverence the Eucharist? You want to see young people who will offer their life, who will fight for the reverence in the Eucharist?
He would spend hours with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And during the retreat, not only was he talking like Jesus was really present in the Eucharist, but he was actually treating the Eucharist as if it was God. He had something very powerful about him, and I wanted it. Just as I spoke in the beginning about the power of the apostles after Pentecost, this man had it. So much passion and so much zeal. This is what I was missing. This is what the church is missing. He is also an experienced exorcist and a canon lawyer. In fact, he had worked with Pope Benedict XVI when he was just a cardinal. And on the last day of the retreat, he gave a talk similar to the one that I'm giving now. It was about reverence. If you want God to bless you more, treat Him like God. It makes no sense to kneel during adoration and kneel on one knee when we pass the tabernacle, but at the supreme moment when God enters your body to be standing. If you believe God is really present and you want Him to be Lord of your life, treat Him like God. Kneel for Holy Communion. Stop being such cowards that we have the right to kneel, even though some people may be against it, against reverence. The universal norm for receiving Holy Communion anywhere in the world is kneeling and on the tongue. Though a bishop's conference has the ability to request that communicants in its country may receive standing, the bishop's conference does not override the universal norm. Kneeling is not only licit, but it is fitting. It's a clear teaching of the church that we receive grace according to the mode and the disposition of the receiver. And because we are a union of body and soul, our dispositions are indeed impacted by our postures. Just as Father Bing strongly encouraged us to receive communion kneeling, I am strongly encouraging you to receive communion kneeling. According to Vatican officials, receiving communion kneeling and on the tongue better highlights the reality of the real presence, and it better introduces the faithful to a sense of mystery. And even though the church has allowed it, I strongly discourage you from receiving Holy Communion in the hand. Not only are you treating the host like ordinary bread, but the church teaches that Jesus is really, truly, and substantially present, whole and entire, in each species and in each particle of each species. So even a crumb, the whole Jesus is really there, whole and entire. According to the Council of Trent, to deny this is to excommunicate yourself. And to say that one crumb does not matter, or that one crumb should not be reverenced and adored, it is to excommunicate yourself. And when we receive Holy Communion in the hands, there are visible, perceptible particles that will get on your hands. And you're not paying attention and you're unwittingly desecrating God. This is why in the document Redem Schonus Sacramentum, paragraph 93, the church requires that we use the communion plate to put under the chin of the communicant. This is the Catholic faith. This is why the priest, after distributing Holy Communion, carefully washes his fingers over the chalice and then consumes the remaining particles. But instead, we desecrate God by wiping our hands on our pants, and then others step on Him. And then we ask ourselves, why doesn't God bless our people? Why are there no vocations? The people in the Old Testament had more respect for the Ark of the Old Covenant than we show for the living God in our tabernacle. As an exorcist, Father Bing told us how some people had become possessed because of desecrating the Eucharist. This is over familiarity with God. Treating the Eucharist like ordinary bread is the cause of the loss of faith of so many people. By the end of the retreat, I was 100% convinced I was never going to receive communion in the hand ever again. That decision was easy. After all, I see many other people already receiving on the tongue. It didn't take that much, courage for me to do that one difference. What did not come so easy was my decision to kneel for communion. This was at a time in the life of the church that hardly anybody knelt. In fact, before this retreat, I'd only seen one person kneel for communion in my lifetime. And the retreat, it was easy to kneel for communion because everybody else was kneeling. But I needed a little more convincing before I was going to be the only one kneeling in front of all these people. Especially because I was a religion teacher at a very wealthy and influential Catholic school. And I knew that my sudden change of posture would be seen as controversial. It was not that I didn't believe that kneeling was right. I believed it made perfect sense. If this is really God, then I should kneel at this most sacred moment. But the problem was that I was scared, which is okay to be scared, to be different. You're going to be scared. That's understandable. But the next day I went to school, and one of my students said that he went to a church where people knelt at an altar rail, and he started asking me questions, and why do they have altar rails, why don't we have altar rail, etc., etc. So what are the odds that I would go on this retreat and be struggling with this, and the very next day a kid asked me about it? So that night I went to the chapel to pray about it, and as I was kneeling there praying, I felt like God cleared away the fear that I had in my heart, and he filled it with love. And I made a resolution that night that I was going to kneel, no matter what. He is my God, and I wasn't going to be letting being afraid get in the way of me doing what I felt was best. Well, God put me to the test. It was bad enough that the very next Mass I was going to was an all-school Mass, where all of my students and my principal would be watching me. But the Mass was going to be celebrated by Cardinal DiNardo. And guess what? I did it. I survived. So I started kneeling for communion, and it was awesome. I noticed my passion increased, and I was being a powerful witness, and people were actually starting to follow my example. I was already making frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament, and kneeling for communion was what really helped me say, Jesus, you are here, you are my God, I'm willing to make myself look foolish. It wasn't really looking foolish, it's actually being reverent. But that does not mean I was always treated nicely. Some people did not like what I was doing, some people told me to stop. They did not like that my witness was powerful, even though it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. But some people were cruel to me. It got to the point where I decided that I would close my eyes while I was kneeling, so I wouldn't be distracted by the look of disgust. And if somebody wanted to reprimand me, I'd pretend like I couldn't hear them. They would say, stop being a distraction. You're drawing attention to yourself. But in reality, they are the distraction. Their lack of reverence for so great a mystery is the real distraction. My reverence is only treating Jesus in the Eucharist like he's really present. I was shocked that some people would take such a great stand against reverence, and because of this, I decided to write a letter to my cardinal asking for clarification. I gave him a list of all the Vatican documents. This is what he said in the letter that he responded to me. Dear Mr. Castillo, thank you for the letter of July 15th. As you wrote and from the text you cited, Rome has given permission to kneel while receiving Holy Communion, which I honor with due regard. May you continue to receive the abundance of graces offered in the Eucharist, the bread of life. Be assured of my prayers for your well-being and spiritual nourishment. Respectfully in Christ, Daniel Cardinal DiNardo, Archbishop of Galveston, Houston. It seemed like God was really blessing me, because around this same time, Pope Benedict did something that for me indicated that God was with me on this crusade I had for reverence. On the Feast of Corpus Christi in 2008, he decided that he would only distribute communion to those who were kneeling. But of course, if you couldn't kneel, you're free to stand. But Pope Benedict was reinforcing that the general norm for the universal church is kneeling. And he did this everywhere he went in the world. And once Pope Benedict put his seal of approval on the posture, cardinals began speaking up and showing support of this posture. And today you can simply Google kneeling for communion to get quotes, but I'll put some links in the description below to some quotes from the current prefect for the sacraments and divine worship, Cardinal Canizares. Now there's just one more form of reverence that I will discuss with you. This form of reverence is probably one of the most mysterious and misunderstood forms of reverence for our age. I would like to speak to you about veiling. Ladies, God has created you as the most beautiful of all of his creatures. You are the crown jewel of all creation. Not only are you pleasing to look at and talk to, but you have the power to create and nurture new life. Nothing can steal a man's heart and attention like a woman. Regardless of how you look, you are a woman and you are beautiful. But when you go into a chapel, there is somebody present who is far more beautiful than you, far more holy, and far more worthy of the hearts of men. In the chapel there is God, the creator of heaven and earth. When a woman veils her head, she is humbling herself before God, her creator, her savior, her sanctifier. When a woman veils her head, she says with her actions, Jesus is here and he is my God. When a woman veils her head, she does not hide her beauty. She is revealing her dignity. When a woman covers her hair in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, she is less distracted in prayer. With her actions, she is saying something very special is taking place here. This is not the same as being in any other building. This is the house of God. If you do not veil, do not own a veil or are against it, I want to plant the seed with you now. You know what it's like to pray without a veil. Why not try one on? Order one. There are lots of websites online from which you can order a veil. I recommend getting a bobby pin to help you pin it in place. I strongly encourage you to prayerfully consider wearing the veil. Don't worry about what other people might say about you. The church never said to stop wearing veils, just like the church never said to stop kneeling. Your witness is powerful. One young lady wearing a veil is greater testimony than 10 old ladies wearing a veil. But you old ladies, don't let that stop you. Please keep wearing the veil. And buy veils and give them to the young ladies. The future of the church is in your hands. Even if just one of you decides to be bold and to witness to Jesus Christ with your acts of reverence, this entire presentation was worth it, because the Eucharist is really God. And to the degree that we conform our lives to this truth, to the degree that we give God the respect and the honor that He deserves, is a degree that God will bless our church and bless our lives. The same Jesus Christ that visited His hometown is visiting us here today. He is here in the Eucharist. Be persistent in seeking Him and treat the Eucharist like you would Jesus. And if you do, He will do mighty deeds in your life, He will do mighty deeds in your family, and He will do mighty deeds in the church. Jesus needs a witness. God love you.